And this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We spent hour number one talking about that wild, wild story involving Earl Thomas and his wife Nina, allegedly, reportedly. TMZ had that story. I broke it down over two different segments. Crazy story. If you want to react to it, go ahead. We had Nick Rolovich on the program. Second hour is wide open. 1-800-636-8686. One programming note. If you're looking for the Jim Rohn podcast, which always drops on a Wednesday, there was nothing yesterday because I taped it this morning before we did this show or before I came on the air for this show. This show is live. Brooks Koepka is my guest. So we're going to push that out later on today. He's awesome. Great, great conversation. So if you're looking for the podcast, it will drop a little bit later on today. Ken in SA tweets, Rome, Earl Thomas is an idiot. If you're going to film yourself in bed with a woman, make sure it's your own wife. Sincerely, Russell Wilson.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, you can go to sleep.
Ta-ta.
See y'all in the morning.
Ta-ta for now. Toodles.
Hey, Baltimore. Hey, Baltimore, we got a deal. That's my wife. That's my gun. That's my gun pointed at my head. That's my brother. He's with me, too. We're in bed, and that's my wife screaming, I got something for all you hoes. That's my wife's friend. She's got a knife. That's my wife's other friend. She's got a phone, and she's not afraid to use it. I got a gun. I'm not afraid to use it. My friend's got a knife. She's not afraid to use it. But most of all, we got a phone. And that phone's got video. And now I got all this on video. And if Alvin DeLauro were here, I'd have that sex music underneath me. But he's not. It's the guy with the gigantic head who doesn't know what the hell he's doing on the board. It's all good, James Kelly. Hit Baltimore. Again, we're having some fun with this story. This story would not be fun at all if that gun went off. And apparently, reportedly, allegedly, she did not know there was still a round in the chamber. I don't know. I think this is what they mean when they talk about being a responsible gun owner. Know how a gun works. Like, she apparently dropped the magazine and felt like there was nothing in the gun. The gun was unloaded, and she was just going to scare him, quote unquote. And that's how those stories end so tragically. Can you imagine? You want to talk about a fine line or a small line? The line between making a joke about this and the fact that what if she did pull the trigger, you know, quote, to scare him? Wild, wild story. But then again, Earl himself tried to pawn that off as just one of those things, just stuff. Stuff that happens to everybody, and I'm pissed that my stuff got out. This stuff does not happen to everybody, Earl. In fact, I've never heard a story like that in my life. At Johnny Scabs tweets, can't wait for Earl, his brother, and that chick to be on Maury Povich for the test results.
Andrew, you are not the father.
Listen, I don't know. I have no idea what was going on in that Airbnb. I don't know if they were all in the same bed or there were multiple beds. I really don't care. It's just the reports were he was in bed with a woman who was not his wife. And she was in the Airbnb with a gun and a friend who had a knife and a friend who had a phone. I mean, of all the amazing things about this story, the one thing I can't get my head wrapped around is her making a point to make sure they have video of it. You know why? Because you want proof that you caught him? With the eyewitnesses were not enough? You need to document it? Yeah, you know what you almost got proof of? A dead husband. You almost got that on tape, allegedly. 1-800-636-8686. Also, today is a really significant day in the history of sports. Today is May 7th, and May 7th represents a really important anniversary. It was 18 years ago today that the world was given this gift.
We're talking about practice, not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice?
18 years. 18 years since that rant. 18 years means that that rant has been able to drive for 2 years. That rant can now vote. And as with just about every good thing, it has been overplayed. It has been overused. But when you hear the original and you really take a moment to think back and reflect on it, you can rediscover it. The rant is like a Renaissance painting. There is so much more to it that you don't even recognize immediately. And to commemorate the 18th anniversary, Rich Hoffman of The Athletic did an oral history, and there are some details and some depth that make it even better. Things that you either didn't remember or didn't know. As an example, this was a press conference that was taking place 4 days after the Sixers lost to the Celtics in Game 5 and were knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. Did I say they lost? Yeah, I didn't mean that. They didn't lose. They got blown the hell out. They lost 120-87. And that came just 1 year after they were in the NBA Finals. Sixers VP Dave Kosky said, quote, "Saying we lost Game 5 is being kind. I flew home on the plane with team owner Ed Snyder after that last game. It was not a matter of just losing. We got our asses handed to us," end quote. So after the Sixers got their asses handed to them, there were questions as to whether or not Larry Brown would return as head coach, whether or not AI would be there as well. Do you remember that time? There were lots of questions, and a meeting was held, and it seems like some grievances were aired out. And one of the issues was about, surprise, surprise, practice. According to Ashley Fox of the Philadelphia Inquirer and JRIB, she said, quote, "Larry had no tolerance for not practicing, so he and Allen butted heads about that stuff all the time. And Larry wasn't shy about turning to a reporter after his media availability and ripping into Allen off the record just to let it be known how he felt. And Allen's a very smart guy, and he knew that. So it created this dynamic, and it had been going on for a long time." End of quote. And it wasn't just that Iverson didn't go hard in practice. It was a pretty well-known fact that AI went hard as hell in games, almost always. But he didn't go hard as hell in practices. In fact, there were reports that Iverson would clown Brown during practice. And let's face it, AI was not exactly the cleanest eater either. So you couple his dislike of practice with his diet, and you get this amazing detail from Larry Platt. Quote, "There's also a moment where he disappears from practice because his guy, Gary Moore, had Taco Bell outside in the little hallway, which was at St. Joe's. Allen goes out, downs a few burritos, and then comes running back in and rejoins the scrimmage." Quote, end of quote. So one thing not to lay it all out, or one thing not to go hard in practice, but another to leave practice to grub some of the bell. That's next level. He leaves practice, he smashes a few burritos, then he comes back to scrimmage. Rod Strickland, eating hot dogs and pizza before actual NBA games, cannot believe that AI was shoveling down Taco Bell burritos during practice. Not after practice, not even before practice, in the middle of practice. Have some fourth meal and you're ready to nap it out. But if you're AI, you're leaving a workout to think outside the bun, and then run right back in and keep on scrimmaging. James Kelly wouldn't pull that crap. Ritt wouldn't pull that crap. And that's to come to work and sit on the other side of the glass. AI was pulling that crap, apparently, and then coming back to practice. But, the bigger issues for Iverson at that time were the fact that he was worried that he was going to be traded, and he was grieving the loss of his best friend. In other words, for him, practice, which had never been that important, was even less important than ever before. Like, you're going to ask me about practice when I'm worried about being dealt and I'm grieving the death of my best friend. And as Fox also said, Iverson didn't look initially like he was going to make history. Quote, if you look at the first 5 minutes or so of that press conference, he didn't go into it wanting to, like, burn down the house. He didn't. It kind of turned into that a little bit, but I don't think that was his intention when he sat down at that podium. End quote. And then history was in fact made because practice did come up and AI was not having it at all.
We're talking about practice, not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice?
So when he sat down at that podium, he did not go in there looking to make history, but he kept right on making it. And around that time, people were also questioning the toll that an NBA season would take on Iverson. Remember, AI was not the biggest dude around. In fact, far from it. And the thinking was, if Iverson lifted weights, or even a weight, maybe he could withstand the punishment that he was taking. Remember, this is why Michael Jordan went into the gym and never came out, at least while he played, because he not only wanted to be able to withstand the pounding and the abuse that he was taking, he wanted to administer some of that pounding, but not AI. Ashley Fox said, quote, he was infamous for not lifting a weight. He even said it in that answer. He's like, I won the MVP bony as hell. And he was, end of quote. Remember, AI was like 6 feet, maybe, and like a buck 65. But still, folks continued to harp on the fact that if he were bigger and stronger, he'd be more durable and he'd be better. Of course, AI didn't see it that way. AI had his own thoughts on that matter.
What I got to do, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to be the biggest, baddest, strongest bodybuilder in the world. And that's going to make me the best player in the world. That's going to make me, if I can do that, if I build myself up and get a whole lot of muscles and come back in here and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, are y'all going to give me the MVP award automatically? Will you please do that? If I come in here and look swole and big and strong and tough, y'all going to give me that award, right?
My man's the greatest. You see what I mean? There are other parts of this that either you never knew or you had forgotten. What an incredible rant. I mean, it's always about practice, practice. What are we talking about? Practice? How about that rant about him turning himself into a bodybuilder? And if he gives us what we want, because apparently he doesn't want that or need that, but if he does what we want him to do, will we just give him the MVP? I love the way he turns that around and is coming hard for the media. If I build myself up and I get a whole lot of muscles and I come back in here looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, are y'all going to give me the MVP award automatically? Will you? Will you? But even that is nothing compared to the turnaround that he was about to have with one reporter in particular. Because Iverson got into an exchange with Phil Jasner of the Daily News, and this is outstanding.
Can I respond?
Yeah.
Pete, there are people who suggest, me among them, that instead of shooting 40%, if you were in...
What you know about basketball?
I know...
Have you ever played?
Yes. Have I watched...
I don't know Phil Jasner. I don't know you as a basketball player. I don't mean, for real. I know you as a columnist. Listen, I don't know you as no player, though. I ain't never heard of you as no player.
Why is that an issue?
Why is that an issue? Because we talking about basketball.
Well, then let me ask my question.
We talking about basketball.
Let me ask my question.
What? What's your question?
Suppose you shot...
Philip.
Suppose you shot...
Wow. That is an amazing exchange. That might actually be the best sound from the entire rant. Forget practice. The best delivery in the entire press conference is how he just blurts out, Philip.
Philip.
Normally, whenever an athlete goes with the "you have never played the game" line, it's a sign of defeat. It's because they've got nothing else. It's tired. It's played. They've got nothing else to fall back on. They can't make their argument. But in this case, I'm going to allow it. And then I'm going to love it because of how he says, "Philip."
Philip.
I mean, just so cold. So condescending. And a sign that AI was rolling at that point. Feeling it at that point. Blasting him as Philip.
Philip.
So the way this plays out, Philip passes away in 2010. His son Andy told The Athletic, quote, "When I talked to Alan for my book on my dad, he said, 'Andy, that was all my fault. I mean, I was just so upset about my friend, and once I got going, I couldn't stop myself. But at that time, I was just so tired of being criticized by everybody,'" end quote. And let me say right here, nothing but respect for Iverson. I really respect how he handled that. He owned it. He acknowledged that he let his emotions get the best of him. And I could just keep going for another three segments about the rant. That's how good that is. But I really respect the way he handled that and the way he told his son, "Hey, look, I'm sorry. I did not handle that well. Man, I was just so upset. I was so upset and so sick of people coming for me that I was feeling it and I let it rip." But there's so much more to that presser and that day than just the practice rant, to learning about the Taco Bell, to Schwarzenegger, to Philip. It's impossible to sum it all up, but maybe the best way is with this from Iverson himself. Quote, "I'm going to go to war." I mean, it's impossible to describe Allen Iverson in only one quote, but that's pretty close. "I'm a go to war. I'm a gonna pound Taco Bell in practice." I mean, he's gonna do that. He's gonna put his body on the line in games, and he's going to fight, and he's gonna do some bleep that's wrong, and he's and ultimately he's gonna come around, and he's gonna own it. So happy anniversary, Al. Hope it's a great one. Because you definitely do deserve it, and you earned it. 18 years. 18 years since that rant, and there's so much more to it than that rant. So much more to it than just practice.
Philip.
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 Hey, Rome, practice. You're talking about practice. What's that? Signed, Mikey De La Creme, calling the show once a year. Yeah, he didn't show up very often, does he? Mikey. Mike and Indy. I don't know what his plan is, but he is invited. And remember, an invite does not guarantee that you'll get on the day of. But you're guaranteed not to get on if you're not invited. I'm talking about the smack-off. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the smack-off? Not the regular show. We're talking about the smack-off, the thing I die for. He can. You know, there were years where Brad would never show up. You could go years without calling this show and then show up on June 19th if you've won the event already. So keep that in mind. $5,000 to the first place winner of the Smack-Off. You got to beat the BIC. He is the defending champ. The GOAT. The best to ever do it. You got to go through him to get that title and get the money. Right now, it all belongs to him. Coming up next hour, Malik Jackson, Eagles defensive tackle. Also, Milwaukee Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer and episode 128 of the Jim Rome podcast with Brooks Koepka coming up after the program. Take a short time out. Phone lines are open. If you want to talk about something other than Earl Thomas, other than AI, just hit me up. You know where to find me. Also, my thoughts on Jay Cutler. His wife says one of the reasons for their split, he was lazy and unmotivated. Who, Cuddy? Why was she the last one to know? Who didn't know that? All that's still ahead, and your phone call is next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, tune in to CBS Sports Network as the strongest athletes battle it out to see who becomes this year's champion. Watch the 2020 Arnold Strongman Classic on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. DRod2203 on Twitter, quote, "Holy crap, Jimmy. How the hell does Alvy not have Phillip on a soundboard?"
Phillip.
The point of that was, he didn't have it because Alvin probably had not heard that. A lot of you probably have not heard that. That was the whole thing about the anniversary of the practice rant. There was so much more to it than just the rant in and of itself, including that exchange. And the exchange was classic. You know, you've got a columnist, a reputable and well-known columnist, trying to ask Alan a question, and Alan's not having it. He wouldn't even let him finish the question.
Phillip.
And then immediately goes to, "Who are you? Who are you? Have you ever even played the game?" "Yes." "Really? When? Can I ask my question?" "Yeah, go ahead." "Phillip."
"Phillip."
So that was probably part of the exchange you had never heard before. Alvin is not in today, but I guarantee when he comes back, he will have that in his library. "Brother," this email says, "Brother, I just want to say to you, keep cracking me up every day so I can thank you for the radio program. Matt in Grand Junction, Colorado, wore the impending June 19th Rip Fest." Yeah, I'm wondering about that June 19th Rip Fest. How about all of you who are invited to the Rip Fest? Where are you right now? How about all of you who are not invited to the Rip Fest? Where are you right now? Only the best of the best get in. Yesterday, Salty Sarah somehow played her way in part on the strength of her talking about Tom Brady. She said that she wanted to, quote, do things to Tom Brady. Quote, "I want to Tampa with Tommy." Salty Sarah. And that was enough. All she had to do was come in here and say she wanted to Tampa with Tommy. So it's not guaranteed she'll get on the air, but it's guaranteed that she is invited unless she does something between now and then to lose the golden ticket. And that certainly can happen. People get them and lose them and get them back. Romy, kick out the whores.
Kicked out the whores.
Regards, Nina Thomas. That's not what she said. Nina reportedly said, "I've got something for all you hoes." Bill Romanowski said, "I kicked out the whores."
Kicked out the whores.
There is a difference. Dear Jim, even I think Jay Cuddy is unmotivated and lazy. Signed, Adam Sandler's last 9 movies. Brett from Bugaha. "Hey, you're barking up the wrong tree, Brett. You're barking up the wrong tree. Adam Sandler said that he would put me in a movie." No, check that. "I asked if he would put me in a movie. He said yes, he made good on it, and I still get paid on that movie." So you're barking up the wrong tree, Rover. Get off Sandler. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to South Carolina quickly on the phones. Andy, it's good to have you, Andy. How are you? What's up?
Yo, Jimmy.
Yo, Andy.
What's happening, Jim?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
Man, I've been loving you for a long time. I just wanted to say that my pops is the one who started me getting off listening to you. And him and his coworker used to listen to you back in the day. And that's how it all started, Jim. And I love you. And I thank you very much. You're keeping it sane. You're keeping it real. And thank you, Jim, for everything you do. And Hawk needs to shave that mustache. We need, I want Lil Alvy back. Where's Lil Alvy at?
You and me both, Andy. Andy in South Carolina. Thanks, bro. All right, so he didn't phrase that all that well. Something to the effect of, "I've been getting off listening to you, Jimmy." for a long time. And also mentioned his dad. Earl and his brother, Andy and his dad, me, Hawk's mustache. Where's Lil Alvy? Lil Alvy is in his little home, taking care of his little bit of business. That's why the flight deck is running the board for him right now. All right, then. That's not going to get you in the smack off, but I appreciate the love, though. 1-800-636-8686. I am here to try to keep things normal. I am here so I can help in all of us keeping our sanity. Everybody's been stuck in quarantine for a long time, and most of us are at wit's end. So I'm trying to come in the box every day for 3 hours and make things a little bit easier. It helps, of course, when Earl Thomas leaves the house after getting into an altercation with his wife about his alleged drinking, and she logs into his Snap account, finds out where he is, gets her friends, they roll up on Earl and his brother, quote, and the hoes, with a gun and a knife and a phone. That helps, allegedly. Still to come, Malik Jackson, Mike Budenholzer, episode 128 of the Jim Rome Podcast. I did talk to Brooks Koepka earlier this morning. The Smack Off is now 43 days out. Not 43 shows, 43 days, June 19th. And right now, it's time for a bottom of the hour sports update. Here is the latest on this Thursday.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I've got back-to-back interviews coming up next hour, so you should call me right now if you want in. Mitch from Buffalo writes, "Hey Rome, who knew the B's in Airbnb stood for brother and brother?" Stucknut tweets, "I agree with Andy. We do need Alvin back. You've said brother 50 times today, and not one Hulk drop was played. Step your game up, Deck." Remember yesterday, Salty Sarah called and ripped a golden ticket. As part of that golden ticket making call, she had a knock-knock joke. Apparently, she's back with another one. "Hi, Jim. Knock-knock. Who's there, Sarah?" "Nobody, just Earl Thomas crossing swords with his brother." "Sarah, I won't, but I should rip that ticket on that alone." "Watch yourself, Sarah. Be careful, Sarah." "No more knock-knock jokes, Sarah." "What's the record?" "Hey, Nut, while I got you on the phone, what is the record for shortest period of holding a golden ticket? And if I had ripped Sarah's right there, would that have been the record?" Watch yourself, Sarah. You're close. All right, so true crime has been a fascination for the American public. And as podcasts have taken off, the appetite for murder stories has never been greater than right now. And one of the most compelling parts of these stranger-than-fiction narratives is the motive. How many times have you heard a podcast or watched a show that dealt with subject matter like that and asked yourself, why? Like, why? Everybody wants to know why somebody did something that they could never do themselves. What caused that crime? What drove the killer? The why is always more fascinating than the how. But motives frequently are not known. A lot of times we never find out, and that can leave it pretty unsatisfying. Because that leads to speculation and theories, but never the actual facts. Wanting to know a motive also is not exclusive to a crime. Like, our natural curiosity has us wanting to know the reasoning behind almost everything that we find interesting. Like, for instance, the Last Dance documentary. Everybody knew Mike Jordan hated Isaiah Thomas. Everybody knew that Mike loved to gamble. Everybody knew how Mike felt about Crumbs Krause. We knew these things to be true, but in a lot of cases, we didn't know exactly why. And now we're finding out. And it's awesome. And it is satisfying. So, with all of that said, it's fitting that when a seemingly perfect couple of 10 years broadcast their seemingly perfect marriage on TV and then suddenly announce they're going to get divorced, we'd want to know why. What's going on here? Ever since Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari called it quits, a lot of people have been wondering just that. Why? Why? We've been watching this show now for years. They've been married for years. They have a perfect marriage, seemingly. She's constantly doling out relationship advice, whether you want it or not. And you're telling me they couldn't make it work. They're getting a divorce. Why? Like, to me, it's neither here nor there. It's none of my business. It's their life. It's their business. It's their divorce. But I do understand the crossover curiosity because Jay Cutler lived in our world for 12 years as one of the most enigmatic quarterbacks of all time. And just his appearance alone on a reality program was so random and so weird and so unexpected and so bizarre that even if you hate that genre, reality TV, you couldn't help but watch because of Cuddy. And Cuddy was in this world. So, if you were going to pick the last person on Earth to agree to do a reality TV show, Cuddy would probably be at the top of that list. And Cuddy on that show has been nothing short of Cuddy personified. Apathetic, standoffish, unfriendly, curmudgeonly. I mean, whatever adjective you want to use, it probably fits. What I'm saying is this. In the fakest form of TV, Jay Cutler kept it real. And keeping it real for Cuddy means not giving a damn, which he didn't. Maybe not on the field. Yeah, maybe so on the field. But maybe sometimes not on the field. But definitely not in front of the reality show cameras. Apparently, according to a new report from Page Six, Cuddy also kept it Cuddy in his marriage. And now apparently we have a motive. Back to my original point. We have a reason. We have a why. We have a motive as to why his wife is filing papers on him. Normally, I would not have 2 seconds to spend on this. But the motive for the split is so Cuddy that I can't help but bring it up here on my sports talk show radio program. Because a source told Page Six, quote, she was growing increasingly impatient with him. He was supposed to take this big job at Fox Sports and have a life after football that would get him up off the couch and doing something. Instead, he backed out. He joined the Miami Dolphins. That did not pan out well. And he was left with no TV gig until she got the show for them. Kristen views herself as very polished and put together, and Jay as this lazy, unmotivated guy. End quote. I mean, damn. Are we saying that Cuddy just cuddied himself out of a marriage? Quote, Kristen views herself as very polished and put together, and Jay as this lazy, unmotivated guy. End quote. That is an amazing quote. One of the most on-brand quotes I think I've ever read. That's like every single Smokin' Jay Cutler meme come to life in 3 words. Lazy, unmotivated guy. I mean, most marriages break up over unfaithfulness or money. Cuddies may have just broken up over Cuddy being Cuddy. Which begs the question, how the hell did the rest of us know that Jay Cutler was like that, but his own wife didn't? Go to Google right now and type in Jay Cutler don't care. And you tell me what comes up. This dude has been a meme of apathy and disinterest and not caring since 06. Remember last year when Nike dropped that black and white photo of Colin Kaepernick with the text over it that read, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Remember that? You remember that campaign? 2 seconds later, somebody made one of Jay Cutler smoking a heater in black and white with a text over it which read, don't care,
even if it means not caring about anything. And then that meme was more widespread and got more run than the original ad involving Kaepernick. I mean, what I'm saying is this dude is literally the poster god for flatlining and a lack of enthusiasm and apathy and not giving a damn. And it's been like that for a long, long time. It's been like that for years. Listen to this clip from the reality show last year.
What's up?
I got a haircut this morning.
It's exciting. That's a big day, I feel like, for you.
Are you, like, trying to mock me? I kind of understand.
No, I mean, it's a huge activity.
Getting a haircut is a huge day for Cuddy. And the fact that he disclosed it's even bigger. This guy couldn't even bring himself to say hello to anybody who walked into that house for 3 years on camera. So him talking about a fresh chop is massive. But this guy was going to broadcast games on TV when he doesn't even want to say hi to anybody who walks into his own house. Anyway, at least we now know why. At least now we know what the motive was for that split. A motive that I would not have cared about at all unless it was about Jay Cutler not caring at all, which according to her, it was, which I have to say is pretty awesome. Cuddy going down in a gossip rag as, quote, a lazy, unmotivated guy is as smoking Jay Cutler and on brand as it gets. Like, I'm not even going to predict that he fights back on that rap because I'm 100% certain that he doesn't care. I'm 100% certain that he is too lazy and unmotivated to even fight back on that rap. Yeah, but Jay, she said you're lazy and unmotivated. So? And? What? She's right.
Trying to mock me? I kind of understand.
You trying to mock me? Yes. That's exactly what she was trying to do, Jay. Now she's trying to divorce you. And you know why? She says you're lazy and unmotivated. Yeah, that's fine, Kristen. Just know this. You do that, we've got no reason to watch your infomercial that you're trying to pawn off as a TV show. So if you want to fire him as your husband, like he's one of your employees that you're always telling what to do, understand that none of us are watching. The only reason we ever even came near that show was to see your lazy, unmotivated husband. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the phones. Johnny Scabs in the D. Help me out here, Adam. What line is he on? Because line one is not lit. It's not for me. Before I push this, my phone bank has line two and line three that are blinking and illuminated. Line one is clear. Johnny, what's going on? Nice to have you.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, you know, it seems like every show nowadays is taking advantage of the Zoom app. I'd love to see the Smackoff zoomed on CBS. I mean, who wouldn't want to see Vic make a call wearing one of those stupid flat-billed hats with the holographic sticker still attached? He'd probably have a few of those ridiculous championship belts from his fantasy football leagues displayed in the background. I can only predict when Kellen Vegas calls, he'll have a bunch of empty liquor bottles proudly stacked behind him like some type of virgin frat boy. You see, Cal likes to pretend he's some type of Vegas big shot. Then he tweets a picture of tacos he's making in a pan that looks like it was from the Great Depression. Cal's such a phony. He's one of those guys that wears a tracksuit with two stripes because he can't afford Adidas. On second thought, you know, maybe this isn't a good idea. I have a lot of respect for Benny, and I don't want my only memory of the Smackoff to be an image of him wearing one of those hard hats with the beer holders and the straws. Anyways, hey, war stuck nut, late, Jimmy.
You're right, Scabs. That was not a good idea, nor was that a good call. And if Alvin were here, you would have been run. James Kelly, like, when you sit in that desk or at that desk, you have the right and the wherewithal to run a guy if you want. Pull the trigger, man. Be aggressive. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He's like, last time I did that, you killed me. Yo, get back on your horse, dude. Get that big head of yours and get back in the saddle. Quickly, let's go to Rex in the ABQ. Now, Rex had a golden ticket, and Rex lost his golden ticket, and now he's back for more. Hey, Rex.
Hey, Jimmy. I really am hurt and disappointed that you ripped my golden ticket, but I would at least ask that you follow some guidelines for the next smack off. One of them being, since this is primarily a California event, can we at least require that all the participants be fully clothed, especially my bud, Brad and Corona? I know he likes the Speedos, but I think we all can do without it since he showed that he was a grower and not a shower.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
So there's already a dispute behind the other side of the glass. James Kelly's like, I was supposed to run that, right? And Hawk is looking at him like, why did you run that? And Ritt wants to get involved, but his opinion doesn't matter. And I'm stuck with all three of these knuckleheads. Hey, Alvy, you having a good day? I'm not. When we come back, back-to-back interviews. Malik Jackson, Eagles defensive tackle, starts the hour off. Milwaukee Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer coming up after that. After the program today, episode 128 of the Jim Rome podcast with Brooks Koepka. Man, keep coming. We're not there yet. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Hour number three is next.